מדטוק, פודקאסט מבית תקדע ישראל.
Welcome to MedTalk, Takeda's podcast. Today we are broadcasting from MedTech Ra'anana, the third annual destination conference. My name is Eliane Hattis-Kurgan, and today we are very excited to have with us Dr. Samuel Cronin, Healthcare Innovation Manager from the UK Israel Tech Hub. Dr. Cronin, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's nice to meet you at this conference.
And you, thank you for having me.
I wanted to know a little bit about the, or a lot actually, about the UK Israel Tech Hub. What is its mission? What do you do there?
Sure. The UK Israel Tech Hub is a British government initiative operating out of the British Embassy in Tel Aviv. Until recently, a model unique for the British Embassy in Israel. And we were set up to help capture Israeli innovations for British industry. So the former British ambassador to Israel, a man named Matthew Gould, who is currently actually heading NHSX, which is the world's largest digital health initiative, identified that there were technologies in Israel that were of value to British companies, simply that these companies in the UK had no idea that these technologies existed or how to capture them. So we were set up to capture them for the UK and to help ensure that the British companies are the first to know about these technologies.
Fantastic. And how long have you guys been active?
We've been active for about 8 years. Our last numbers were taken at about 6.5 years. In 6.5 years, we had built 175 concrete partnerships between Israeli startups and the UK, with a total deal value of £85 million, so about $100 million. And the estimated impact to the British economy of that was about $1.1 billion. And we're active in a variety of sectors, as well as healthcare, smart cities, mobility, fintech, insurtech. And all of our companies, all of our clients in the UK are known brands in the UK: GSK, AstraZeneca, Jaguar Land Rover, Rolls-Royce. Every major British bank works with us.
How does that work with most of the companies that you mentioned, or many of them actually have offices already here in Israel? So do you work, with those as well as with British companies that don't have a presence in Israel?
Yes. So the companies that we work with, it really varies. Some of them have operations in Israel. Sometimes these operations, when you look, for example, at some of the pharma companies, historically at least, were focused more on marketing and sales and less on looking for innovations. But part of what we do is, in addition to sort of technology scouting, in a sense, we also do the earlier stage, which is the innovation consulting, sitting with these companies, helping them understand what the challenges are that they're facing, what's going to deliver the greatest ROI, and really approaching it from a needs-based approach and solving their problems rather than looking for the, you know, nice, sexy, exciting technologies.
And so the types of startups that you're scouting for, that you work with, do they have to, is it proactively searching for them, or do you have like an accelerator or incubator? How is the program structured?
We're very proactive. So I usually spend about half of my week out of the office meeting with startups just to know who's doing what, what's going on, so that when I'm having a kickoff call with one of my clients, and we work very much based on projects with defined start and end points. When I'm having a kickoff call with them and their team and drilling through what the problems are that they're facing, and often these calls at the first call can be very sort of eclectic and all over the place, as you're bringing together a bunch of different people with different thoughts and ideas. And as they're detailing some of the problems they're facing, I'm sitting, you know, sketching down the names of companies that might be relevant for the problems they're facing as I drill deeper and deeper. So I'm in a constant state of looking to know who's doing what, what's going on, what companies are succeeding, which companies are failing, to have a good network in the ecosystem as well, to put simply, separate the hype from the truth. Because I'm not doing a good job for my clients in the UK if I'm bringing, you know, introducing them to companies that where the reality of the technology is not quite as developed or functioning as well as perhaps it was portrayed.
Yes, we know that quite well.
I'm sure you do.
On average, how many partnerships, how many projects do you have going on at any time? And do you stay involved with both parties after there's a collaboration set?
To answer how many go ongoing at any given moment, it's really difficult for me to say. We operate sort of in a pipeline of all overlapping. Do we stay involved? We stay involved to a degree. Not as hands-on as an earlier stage. I'll say that all of our clients are repeat clients from the UK side. So we're always filled in on what's developed, which companies have actually progressed, what hasn't progressed, why things might not have been. But once I've done the correct, let's say, matchmaking and they've sat down together, because we'll always bring over the Brits to Israel to then sit down with these companies and work out who's right. Once we've done that, it's more a matter of them working out together with each other what is right partnership and what's not. And less required, you know, for my sort of active handholding at that stage.
For the healthcare industry, you said you work with a lot of other verticals as well, but for the healthcare, who are your counterparts at these companies? Would they be the innovation managers? Would they be the IT? What stakeholders are you interacting with?
It really varies depending on the organization. The size of the organization, and sometimes I'm conducting multiple projects within the same organization. So one of the British pharma companies, I was on the one side of the coin working on a drugs project, on actual medications they were looking for therapeutics. And I was working with the same company on their data and AI needs, completely unrelated to the other project. So really it completely varies. Often roles relating to innovation, yes, or data in some capability, as well, often bringing in the strategic side. We're almost, we're very often working with sort of the C-level of these companies. So we tend not to work below the decision makers. We want to only work with people that can actually make that go, no-go decision on the things that we show them. Otherwise, there's just too much bureaucracy and hierarchy and things get lost and fall between the chairs.
Of course. The chief innovation manager position at all these companies we find is relatively speaking a new position, and they don't quite know. They have way too many hats that they're wearing, way too many, all the business units that they need to help. And the nature of innovation is that it moves fast. And for digitization in all realms, one has to move very fast, which means it's the opposite of bureaucracy.
Exactly.
As far as the UK market, so what we know that for at least in the past, up until recently, the US is the market, the only market that any Israeli startup is looking at. And they tend to forget that the world is wide and large, and especially in healthcare, everybody is a human being and has the same health needs, or at least they exist. So what do you find, what challenges in terms of interesting the Israeli startups, or how do you go about it?
So let me begin by saying that the UK's healthcare system, the National Health Service, is the largest healthcare provider in the world. It covers 60 million patients. It's entirely taxpayer funded. It's free at the point of care. The way I sort of describe the model is you have the US at one end of the spectrum, this privatized healthcare system. You have the UK at the other end, and the Israeli model sits somewhere in between. Now, the NHS is a national treasure in the UK. Brits are incredibly proud of it. It's overburdened, underfinanced, in desperate need of innovation. It is, as with many healthcare systems, incredibly fragmented and complex. There is no single procurement line. And this can be frustrating, I see, for you know, I guess any entrepreneurs, but Israeli entrepreneurs that might go over to the UK sort of thinking it's going to be easy-ish. You knock on one door, you convince one person, and then you're into, you know, this enormous system. And that's far from being the truth. I'll tell you that in my 2.5 years working at the UK Israel Tech Hub, I've seen a significant change on both sides. I see more and more Israeli entrepreneurs that are looking to the UK as the market, whether they're looking to the NHS or to other private companies in the UK. And on the other side, I also see a lot more interest coming from the UK. So these are the British corporates and the NHS that are more and more aware of the opportunities in Israel. They're aware that there are technologies here that are of value to them. They are very interested and keen to engage. Often the challenge is, and this is where I come in, is they need a way to navigate the landscape. But it's definitely changed in over the last few years in the perception of the UK as a relevant market for the Israeli entrepreneurs. I don't know the answer to it. I could speculate. I think that part of it might relate, and this is just a might, to the fact that you can go to the US and scale and exit your company in the US alone. And you're never going to do that in the UK, really, or Europe. You go to the UK and Europe if you have real conviction in your technology and you want to take over the world. And if you really want to get wide-scale spread and adoption of your technology, then you're going to have to do it at some point. And I think that's part of it. And also, we've been working a lot over the last few years to build more bridges between the UK and Israel and to make it a more accessible market, to make it less of this intimidating, I hate to use the word term black box when we're talking about AI all the time in black boxes, but this intimidating black box.
Israel is the intimidating black box,
sorry,
or the UK? Because
the UK.
I would argue Israel also for foreigners, it's an absolute intimidating place.
I don't know if it's intimidating.
It's confusing place to navigate.
It's exciting. Certainly, I see this when we bring over delegations. It is intimidating in their perception of it before they arrive here.
Right.
Often people come over to Israel and they're expecting either sort of, you know, downtown Baghdad or a place like Oman with, you know, desert and desert stretching,
right,
and then a city popping out of the desert and then more desert between each place.
Where
and they
are
come
all the
and,
camels,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's very funny. It's very interesting, the point that you made about a startup that would want to go to the States would be able to scale and make an exit just in the U.S. market and not do that alone in U.K. or in Europe. However, so does that imply that the startups that would be interested, more interested in the UK, are really much more early stage, the ones that are looking for their MVPs? Which stage startups do you normally work with?
No, I think that I don't know what, you know, the real explanation is for it, but it's not necessarily early stage. It can also be the later stage. It's also, I see the more seasoned entrepreneurs who perhaps went one route with one thing and now, you know, want to have either learned as they have experienced, as they've developed, and, you know, see that as the right opportunity. So there are two things that I've put together over the last few years. One is an MOU that we signed with an organization called the NHSA, and that's the Northern Health Science Alliance. And this organization is based in the north of England. It brings together now 24, it was 20 different organizations. They were research intensive universities, large teaching hospitals, what are called academic health science networks, which help ensure that innovations reach the patients. And this organization covers a patient population of 15 million people. And this was an MOU to enable Israeli startups to access the clinical research environment in the north of England. And this came off an observation I had, which was that too many Israeli entrepreneurs had been unsuccessful in the UK, and I felt that they had been unsuccessful because they had gone with market-ready technologies. And I would say to them, if you want to sell your company to Takeda, you're not going to go to Takeda tomorrow and try and get them to buy. You're going to start cultivating that relationship in advance, and you need to do the same thing in the British healthcare system, which, for the reasons I've described earlier or alluded to, is a nervous healthcare system, and rightly so, when it doesn't have quite the right resources. So my attitude was, get to the UK as soon as you can. Start doing your clinical studies there. Generate your data there. And in so doing, you'll find your champion or champions. And when you've got your champion standing by you and supporting the development of this technology for the next 2 years, let's say, until you're market ready, by the time you're market ready, you've got your network. You've got the people in place to help you. The people who can say, I've supported this development for the last 2 years, and this is a technology that we need and has validity. So I do encourage the earlier stage companies to get over as soon as possible. But by no means is that a limiting factor, let's say.
So you are essentially a right-hand arm person for their go-to market, specifically in the UK, truly advising.
The way that we actually work is that, the way I explain it is that I'm not interested in pushing Israeli technologies. I'm interested in pulling the British need. And part of this comes, you know, we see too many, solutions here that address perceived needs rather than real world needs. And this is a real challenge. Now, what we're doing is we're pulling the need from the UK of these companies over to Israel. And I'm sitting with them, really understanding what's right about the solutions we're seeing here, what's wrong about the solutions. And in so doing, I'm understanding what they actually want to pay for. And just as importantly, why they won't move on certain technologies that perhaps we think are really good here. And they explain what's wrong with it and why they're not prepared to move on it. So I'm not a go-to-market for the Israeli companies. I'm actually a market access for the British companies to get to these technologies. Now, in so doing, I end up helping the Israeli companies get to market, but that's not my goal. And that's not where I come from. I really come from a position of addressing the real needs from the UK side.
Okay. It is, after all, a government initiative, you said, that's
exactly
based out of the... Okay. So just a few last questions. Which you obviously see the trends of adoption within the healthcare vertical, the digital health, biotech, et cetera. What is being adopted faster and what is having a hard time to get in there?
I think that I can tell you that my experiences with the UK, especially when we talk about within a healthcare system, is the interest is, I don't want to say greater, what the system needs more than clinical algorithms are IT infrastructure tools. And this is what I'm seeing more and more, is this need for technologies that can solve challenges around interoperability, for example, which is, you know, a huge challenge. I see, especially coming out of the UK, and this is really something that organizations from the UK, healthcare providers, I mean, whether public or private, are very interested to learn from Israel, is around interoperability. Where technologies are succeeding and failing, I can't put it down to specific types of technologies. I'll say that those companies that understand earlier, when they're operating in a clinical space, the need for clinical evidence, and that have really helped to generate that, the proof of it, are finding it easier, because other ones go over based on logic. And this is the problem with Israeli entrepreneurs, I feel, that too often Israeli entrepreneurs come from a technological perspective and look for, they've got, that's their hammer, and they're looking for the nail within healthcare to solve. Now in the UK, the entrepreneurs come from the healthcare background, have seen a problem, and now they want to solve it. So that's perhaps why some of the technologies in the UK, not all at all, but some are perhaps weaker technologically. And the Israelis are good technologically, but they haven't studied workflows in a deep enough level, for example. And they're not addressing the right questions around generating the right evidence and regulatory pathways and so on and so forth.
So you are facilitating that in order to promote the business and help UK businesses here then innovate, which
is
fantastic.
Yes, in a manner of speaking, but I'm also interested in just supporting the ecosystem on the whole here. So I'm always prepared to meet with startups, you know, regardless how many meetings we have, you know, can vary, but I'm always happy to sit with people. I'm happy to share from my experiences and my insights. And I'm very fortunate to sit in the position of having conversations with so many British-based multinationals. And going back to this point about really understanding what are their needs and what they're prepared to move on really helps inform me, and therefore to also inform these startups about things that they might want to change and tweak in their strategy or product to make it a more desirable product, let's say.
You sit in a very exciting position in the middle of a lot of crossroads. That's fantastic. My last question to you is, where do you see the UK Israel Tech Hub in 5 years, which is infinitely far away in internet terms, high tech terms?
It's an excellent question to think about where we were as an organization and as a team 5 years ago. I'll tell you that we are now engaging in our next step of the initiative. We are very iterative. We're constantly trying to improve what we do and to make sure that we're getting better at delivering value to both sides ultimately, because we were set up to build win-win partnerships to really benefit both nations, not just to benefit the UK, to help benefit the economy of both and to help these Israeli companies. It's just that our perspective is always coming from first from the UK side. Now, part of that is we are currently in the process of setting up a physical space in the UK. We're calling it the landing pad. And this is about bridging the next gap. Now, one of the challenges that we see is we can bring delegations out to Israel from these UK businesses. We can take delegations of Israeli companies over to the UK. The problem is that what happens after that? What happens a week later, 2 weeks later? Now, startups and corporates operate on completely different timeframes. You can have a good meeting with a startup and, you know, a few weeks pass, and for the startup, they don't understand what's happened. That's been a really good meeting. Now, for the multinational, they're still trying to work out how to open their Outlook or whatever their internet browser is in that time. Someone goes on vacation, doesn't get a reply to an email, so on and so forth. And also very much in the NHS, where people are very happy to help connect other people, if the Israeli company isn't in the UK to then take that follow-up meeting, this is a challenge. So we're looking to address that across all of our sectors with the landing pad. We're bringing on our corporate partners from the beginning. We're building programs operating out of this. These will be multi-month programs. We're not going to expect the Israelis entrepreneurs to be there for the full time. They'll be able to go back and forth. But the point is to have a physical working space in the UK where they can be, and to be able to tap into the hub's entire network, which crosses, you know, really, you know, very broad tech providers, investors, payers. It's really a very broad network we've cultivated over the last 6 to 8 years in the UK. So that's our next step. Where that will go over the next few years, I really can't say. But I can tell you that we are, you know, I told you the numbers earlier that we've delivered, and we're a very small team. We're never larger than 10 people. So we've been able to deliver significant value from a very small team in that time. And hopefully we'll just continue to do the same and get better at this and build more and more bridges between the two countries.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that information with us today. And Dr. Cronin, I wish you the best of luck, you and the UK Israel Tech Hub, the best of luck with your mission. And thank you for your participation today in our podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
All of the episodes are available at takeda.co.il, as well as on Spotify, Apple, and Google. Thank you very much, and I wish you a good remainder of the conference.
עד כאן במהדורה הזאת של מטוק, הפודקאסט מבית הקדע ישראל. תודה שהייתם איתנו, אתם מוזמנים להעביר את התכנים המובאים בפודקאסטים שלנו גם לידיעתם של עמיתים אחרים. משתמע בקרוב כדי להיות קשובים לבריאות.